Pat Cohen is the superintendent of the Burlington Community School District, and he is going to be the superintendent of the community school district until June of 2022. And I asked Pat, I asked you when you first came in, I said, you said last year it was the worst year you've ever had
it
in
was.
Education. I said, is that why you are not going to be the superintendent?
No, that has nothing to do with it. It has to do with numbers and retirement. And I've got a good friend named Tony Brown. Tony's kind of a number scientist, does algorithms and that type of thing. And he actually broke down the retirement system for me and how you do what's in your best interest after giving 33 years of service to that IPERS. And he said, if you love your job, take the money and go do that job somewhere else. And Tony, one thing I love about him is he's always very blunt and very honest, and I enjoy calling him Downtown Tony Brown after the reggae singer. But he just explained to me there are other places that need me and need my skill set. He said, you're not quitting. You're just refocusing your effort and your dedication to education's mission. So
you're not retiring from something. You're retiring to something.
Correct, yeah. And I talked to a lot of guys that will tell you stories about people that retire and then don't really have a plan, and they quit doing things. They become sedentary, and then they end up passing away, you know, that type of thing. So Jen and I are looking at our options, and our options are good. And so we'll see where we end up. But we will continue to work to educate children.
What's been the toughest thing? Is last year, that was the toughest thing you've ever had in education, right?
It is. My first year as a superintendent about 15 years ago or so, they had a 10% across the board cut. And the old guys all slapped me on the back, and they said, Pat, this will be the toughest thing you ever have to do in your career. Well, they were wrong. COVID has been, degraded the children's ability to read, write, sing, and dance, all those things. They haven't been in school. They haven't advanced. So now we talk about a kid being very likely to drop out if they can't read by the end of third grade. Well, now you have a third grader that hasn't been in school 2.5 years. It's a mess. And then you throw the social emotional part in on top of it, Steve. So we have families that, for circumstances that are in their control, but to somewhat, they're not seizing control. And the child comes into the school and, their behaviors exude, conflict with the educational process, which then degrades their ability to learn and slows things down. Those children also went home for 3 years to that environment that produced those outcomes in the first place. So now you're not only behind in the curricular areas, but you're also behind in social, emotional, and behavioral issues. So it's going to be years digging out of this. You know, if next year we start school and it's normal, that's 13 years until the children that have been disrupted by this work their way through the system.
Now, you had as soon as the judge decision came down that said that schools had the option to make a mask mandate, you were one of 11 districts in the state of Iowa, and you were one of the first three districts in the state of Iowa. West Burlington, Burlington, and I believe Des Moines were the first three districts to actually impose a mask mandate. Now, you have West Burlington's taken theirs off. They've removed that because of the rate of COVID cases and situations in Des Moines County. You have a three-tiered mask or not mask, and it really is based on the same thing, based on the case count. Is that right?
It is. That is correct. I intended to bring you a copy. I left it laying on my desk so we could go over it word for word. When we looked at it, again, the board has to vote with their mind and their heart, and they voted to put it back in. And my job, unfortunately, is a bureaucrat, and I hate to admit that, but I am. So I will do what the board says. I did try to to get them to consider the fact that if you are concerned about your child, we now have Vibe, the online academy. The child could go there. Your child could wear a mask. We're not telling people they can't. Mm-hmm. They could wear a mask. There's options for the people that want that, but the people that don't, there's no option. But the board felt that the best interest of the school district and the children was to put masks on everybody inside the school, and that's what they did.
And if we have a surge of COVID cases, then that changes that formula or changes your situation, right?
Well, it wouldn't us, because we're already 100% masked.
Oh, you are still? Okay.
We are still 100% masked
okay.
right now.
All right. But you have it's a three-tiered process.
It
is. It will float depending upon what the COVID case count is here in Des Moines County. Is that right? I'll let you bring that microphone back up.
I just hit the mic, folks.
hold on a second here.
There we go.
Okay, there we go.
Yep, that is correct.
Okay. You know, as we look at online learning versus in-class learning, there is a difference. There's
huge.
A big difference, isn't
huge.
There?
Huge, huge. Some children do okay online or better, but that's very much the exception. Most of the kids need to be in the classroom physically with a teacher. There can be hybrid, where you're with the teacher part of the time and then you do some of it online. Most of the like professional development type stuff that people do who already have degrees and are working, there's an online component. Almost every class now in college has online mm-hmm. components. You're still meeting with your professor, but then you submit papers digitally. You do chat groups digitally, but then you do come together. So it's a skill set that we can't allow to completely diminish. You know, what we learned last year, we can't let that skill set die. We need to keep breathing life into that to make sure our children are ready for the future. But we do need kids in classrooms with teachers. Online instruction is growing at a rate of 100 times faster than any other form of education at this time.
Okay. Now, but it's usually a mix of online and in class. I mean, at least that's what we had Dr. Michael Ash in, and he said
yep.
the same thing. Yes, there is some online learning, but it also is a benefit to both Iowa Wesleyan and also the SEC. But as you look at, your online components, you look at how things have changed. You told me that one of the forces or one of the results of COVID was that you came out, and instead of being a K-12 program, you are a birth to 14 program.
That's correct. And we are also a birth to 14 program in person as well. You could do it online, but again, we need your children in the classrooms. Learning the content, but also learning the interaction skills and the soft skills and the things we talked about degraded as did academics. So yeah, right now we are arranged. Dr. Ash and his team has been nothing but fantastic. And if a kid comes in and hits it hard, by the time they finish their senior year, they can walk out with 2 years of college done, and they can save themselves student loan debt. Well into the future, they can make bigger house payments. They can go on vacation sooner. It just gives them a jump start on adulthood.
I was going to ask you, last year you had a couple of dates where you did a mass vaccination for staff.
Correct.
And do you know what your rate or what your vaccination rate is or percentage of vaccinated members of the staff are?
I can't tell you the exact number, but I know we're higher than Des Moines County, but not much.
Okay.
You know, so really the school reflects the county's perception of vaccination. We actually had our booster shots last Friday.
Okay.
I was first in line to get mine, and I'm not even going to tell you a number, Steve, but it wasn't that high of the number of staff members who came and got the vaccine or the booster shot, and we made it available during their work hours. So we made it as convenient as possible, and those who chose to do so did so, and those who didn't, you know. And
is it a matter of mandate versus volunteer? To get this, does the mandate automatically turn people off? Is that one of the things?
I believe that some people are the president can't tell me what to do, you know, and there's a, it's like a teeter-totter, you know,
right.
And somewhere it has to balance, because there's the greater good for the citizenry group overall, and then there's individual rights. You go back and you look at, you know, a lot of people look at the Civil War, you know, and the antebellum period leading up to it and individual rights, you know, and those type of things and how, it degraded the Union, the United
yeah.
States, the Union of the States. It's kind of the same thing that we're getting now, you know, because people say, well, we need to be able to do this, this, and this, but collectively they want us to do this. And it's a hard, question, and, individuals are answering it for themselves.
The entire COVID vaccination program has been politicized. Burlington and Fort Madison battling it out. One of them's going to go. Whoever wins this game goes to the playoffs. The other one doesn't.
Well, there's a shot of a at-large.
I know there is some.
But we want to seize it and we want to earn it. Interestingly, Doug Stevensmeyer, my college roommate from Fort Madison, told me that he and I should just meet on Highway 61 under the Skunk River Bridge and settle this.
Oh, hey, a little Indian wrestling or something like that.
I reminded him he was a 118-pounder, and I was a 167-pounder. But he swears he now has me.
Okay.
So by weight. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be a great game. I think it'll be highly entertaining. I encourage everybody to get out to the game. It is the last. It's also senior night. And people may not have known this, but there's a rumor of Bigfoot Bracewell. And there may be an appearance of Bigfoot with the cheerleaders and some choreographed thing with Thriller. So come for a great game. Come to support the Greyhounds. Acknowledge the seniors and enjoy possibly an appearance of Bigfoot.
Okay. Possibly. Okay.
Possibly.
He's winking at me right now. It's been, you know, it has been quite a change. It's a dramatic change from the past few years. It's like, I think you said something to me last year. You had a sophomore. No, you had a, it was the middle school team that was,
right.
That was so strong that was coming up into the high school years. And you said, when these kids mature, we're going to have some real horses.
Yeah, when you look at classes, there's classes that are extremely intelligent. There's classes that are extremely good in basketball, wrestling, or track, strong band, theater. Each class kind of has its own personality. And this class, when they were young, showed a lot of athleticism. Brent, our tailback that's leading the state in
yes.
all classes, as just a little bitty guy, he's like, hey, Mr. Cohen, watch this, and just jumps straight up in there and does a backflip, lands on his feet as a little guy. And I just remember thinking that degree of athleticism was very similar to some of the
yeah.
guys I wrestled with in college who just had the bodily kinesthetic ability to do things like that.
It's a trend that, once you start winning, you usually kind of, when you're losing, you keep losing. When you're winning, it turns it around and it's hard. Once you have a tradition of winning, just as, of course, Bettendorf also has, they have a fleet of, they must have just a huge amount of kids to go out for football.
They do. And, Pat Melotich is a, Bettendorf Bulldog graduate, and he and I were college roommates. And they have I don't want to say puppy mill because
yeah.
that's
not, I know what you mean,
but you know what I mean, where they just keep cranking them out, you know. And it's the expectations are extremely high.
Tradition continues
people to look up to, and that's what we hope with Mr. Williams is the younger people are watching him. He goes to class on time. He gets good grades. He acts like he's supposed to. He's in the weight room. He's out for track. He does all the right things. And the young people are seeing him. And you always remember those guys that were around when you were a kid. You know, I still remember the Miller kid at Mount Pleasant wrestling.
Oh.
He had knocked his front teeth out in a tractor accident. So he'd take his teeth out and put them on the table before he'd go out on the mat. And I thought, man. that guy was so tough, you know, and this, you look up to these people, and it does build tradition.
And you did have the boys' golf team was just spectacular this year.
I'll tell you, they felt bad coming home with a fourth place finish. They felt like they way underperformed.
Well, they had the capability to win the
win the whole thing. And the thing they have to remember is some days everything goes your way and some days it doesn't. But a big part of high school athletics is it teaches you how to win and how to lose and how to learn from both experiences and become a better person through it. And ultimately, they'll be fine. They'll go off into the world and have a great lesson in perseverance and hard work.
Speaking of the football game Friday night, the Lutheran Church property. It was our church that was basically got had an explosion that pretty much took that church away. I know the church is going to be coming down. They're going to eventually take that down and. But the property itself, the parking lot, was also very important to BHS. Is that going to be your property now?
Every week I write a board update, and in that board update last week I mentioned the very property you're talking about, and I said a problem with Bracewell. We spent millions of dollars, one of the top stadiums in the Midwest. It's appeared in magazines, articles.
Yeah.
Nowhere to park. Well, now, if we can purchase this, tear it down, and build parking lots and use the current parking lot the church already has.
Right.
And now we've solved.
You've got a parking problem. You've got a parking problem that's been solved.
We do. And, 20 years from now, it'll still be a problem if we don't buy it now. And it's one of those deals where it's available now. And the other thing I tell the board is we don't buy it. Somebody else does, and they start.
You may not have the opportunity to
exactly.
have any parking. Yeah.
And they put old junk buses and cars there. And now we have this beautiful, pristine, multi-million-dollar sports complex with junk cars piled across the street, and there's nothing we can do about it.
You know, one of the things that was talked about, and we have talked about it, in an auditorium at Burlington High School. Where do we stand on that as a possible project?
It is drawn on the temporary plans right now that the architects went over just yesterday. It is drawn on, but it's over by the where the tennis courts are now. The tennis courts will be gone. They're completely ruined now anyway, have had their lifespan. It would be right there. The grassy knoll that everybody said was the spot.
Right.
When you look at it, and I'm like, duh, because I was trained in this with the Army, civil engineering, that grassy knoll falls off steeply. They'd have to bring in megatons of dirt to bring that up, and then they'd have to put in a multi-million-dollar retaining wall. And they're like, that. Whoever said they were going to put a auditorium there was smoking crack.
Okay.
Is the architect's exact words, and he is an Iowa State grad. But anyway, he said, no, here it's level. You save yourself millions of dollars.
What would be the capacity of an auditorium like that?
Well, we're looking at somewhere around 600.
Okay. So you have the a capacity. You can't have an all-school event there. That's why you've got Johansson Fieldhouse. But
right.
But you can do all performances,
yep.
all your music programs, all
right.
the plays, the theater, and things like that. Also you'd have a great facility for all the other schools and all the other in the community too.
Right. And I worry about the community though because SCC has one. We have the Capitol Theater. We have Memorial Auditorium.
Right.
We have. So when you look at the resources that are already in the community, this could take revenue from them, which then causes them to become non-solvent, you know, because we do spend money
right.
at the Memorial Auditorium, you know, those type of things. So we also have to look at what resources do we already have in the community, and by us pulling out, are we then – you know, sticking a dagger in them, which we don't want to do.
You want to make use of what you have, but also not affect the other entities, is what
right.
you're saying.
Right, and the other thing is this would be the fourth auditorium for Burlington Schools, because when they did Newer and Fewer, they built one at Aldo.
Right.
They built one at Ed Stone. They already have one at James Madison, and now this would be the fourth one.
And James Madison itself, What's the status on James Madison? That is going to be torn down eventually, isn't it?
Well, eventually it will be, but right now we have Vibe there.
Okay.
We have our tech department, and we have Vibe. And originally I wanted to tear it down and pre-COVID and be a perfect place
for a housing development.
Oh, yeah. Great for Burlington. New houses, young families, parks right there. The Parkside Brewery, you could walk up and get a cheeseburger and a Pepsi. But now, all of a sudden, COVID hits. All of a sudden, people want online. All of a sudden, we do this. We kept jobs and money in Southeast Iowa.
And Vibe has, how successful has Vibe been for you?
It's been pretty successful. We're sitting at about 170 kids, I believe, and take that times $8,800.
And this is an 80-20 deal for other schools,
is that right? It is, and we have six or seven other schools with children enrolled at Vibe. The other thing we can do with this, now you have a Winfield or a Waco or a New London who can't offer the classes that the Iowa Department of Education requires teach and offer.
Right.
Because of the ratio of students enrolled, it doesn't make money, you go broke, they close you. Now that kid can take that class through us. So we're allowing and strengthening the small schools around us as well. This is just not a good thing for Burlington Community School District. It is a good thing for Southeast Iowa.
All right. You've got board meetings. You've got new members and a work session and all of that.
All that coming.
You know, it is amazing to me to see school board and the interest in people serving on a school board. Let's face it, the pay isn't really great.
The pay is zero. You actually spend money driving there and everything associated with it. You end up spending money. So with COVID and all that, there's a lot of people interested in being on the school board, and I think it's because some of them are upset about things. And they're trying to, get in there and gain control. And I understand that. But
right.
But we always need to remember the number one thing is how do we become a great institution that serves children? And so if you're just running because you're pissed off, might not be a good reason to run, because once that's done, you're still on the board and you still have to make decisions. You still have to do those things.
And it is a commitment, and it's the largest budget of your property taxes.
It absolutely is. Yep. And basically what you're doing is you're sitting on a board that runs an $80 million a year business. And you can't start talking about, who's trimming the grass or, those type of things. They need to understand they're on a board of directors of an $80 million business. And which can be tough.
And there's no doubt about that.
Yep.
Anyway, the one thing that is good is that the school board elections finally were moved to the same.
Yep.
I've been talking about that for years.
I agree with you completely, Steve. It's if you want to do a write-in candidate, somebody wants to sneak in there, easily done. What made things very vulnerable that ran counter to the premise of a true election. So getting it back, great move. Couldn't agree with you more. And I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Just real quick, our enrollment, when I came in, we were losing 100 or more kids
right.
a year. We kept chipping away at that. This year.
Certified enrollment is?
We're up 40 kids.
Okay.
And now that'll go up and down a little bit as the state and the AEA and everybody sorts things out. But for the first time other than when the fertilizer plant came in, we had a spike, and then it left when those workers left and took their children with them. But this is legitimate for Burlington. Now we have some super seniors, some fifth-year people, but we're actually up in enrollment, which is very exciting. We've worked hard to let people see what we have to offer that other people can't.
Is that including the Vibe itself as well? Is that right?
Burlington kids that go to Vibe.
Oh, Burlington kids in Vibe.
Yep,
okay.
The kids that are at Vibe from the other schools count on that other school's enrollment.
Got it, okay.
And we allow that to happen because this can't be just about Burlington. This has to be about offering and helping all of Southeast Iowa.